Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
I know it's not quite Thanksgiving, but that's okay. But we're going to start in our Christmas series, and I've got to go ahead and start to get these messages in by Christmas, and the title of the series is on the wall, Wise Men Still Seek Him. And that's still true today, so if you would turn to Matthew chapter 2 and stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able. And I'm primarily going to focus on the first two verses of Matthew, but I want to read on through a little way so you can kind of get the context and the setting of what is going on here. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look at the wise men while they're still in Persia. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." This is from Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word declares to us this story. Because, Lord, we learn some things about ourselves. We learn some things about your love for the whole world, as John 3:16 says. And God, we learn what it means to be that light of the world, just as we just sung, Jesus is the answer for the world today. God, that's our prayer for our hearts. It's our prayer for our community, and it's our prayer for this nation, that, Lord, that folks will see that Jesus is the answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a lot of times when we think about Christmas and the wise men, a lot of traditions that come to your mind, a lot of thoughts and a lot of legends that have been taught that are really not in the Bible. So I'm going to, as we go through the Christmas series, we'll straighten a lot of those things out as we go. And because, you know, that we've been told there were three wise men. We really don't know how many there were. The Bible doesn't say three. We are told that there are three kings, and they're not three kings, but they were king makers. And so there's things that we see a lot of times in the manger scene. You'll see the wise men gathered at the manger, and you'll see the shepherds gathered at the manger. And I think that's just to kind of help remind us of the totality of the story. But the truth is the wise men came later after the manger scene. So that was later in time when they showed up. So when we're going through these scriptures, try to remind yourself that we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective and try to take some of those thoughts out of your mind of maybe traditions or things that you've seen that are actually not in the Bible. And it reminds me, most of y'all know David Wallace, and David Wallace and I are not only church members, but we're friends. And one morning I had called David to talk to him about something concerning something we were working on here at the church. And you know how much Madeline, my youngest, loves David. And so anyway, we're on the phone, and David had one thing on his mind, and I had something else on my mind, and we were on two different subjects. And so David is telling me, he said, you know, the service wasn't any good last night. Well, Wednesday night was the night before. He said the service wasn't any good and didn't go good at all, but Madeline made up for it. And I said, well, David, we're going through the book of Romans on Wednesday nights, and those verses are really hard, and they're complicated, and sometimes I struggle with the right words and how to communicate them. And David interrupts me and says, oh, no, I'm not talking about the Wednesday night service. I'm talking about at the restaurant. The service wasn't that great, but Madeline made up for it. Sometimes we hear the word wise men or the words wise men, and our minds go in directions of what we've been taught, but not necessarily of what's in the Bible. But anyway, let's get started. Look in Matthew chapter 2, and the first thing I want you to notice is they were wise because they were devoted to the Scriptures. They were wise because they were devoted to the Scriptures. Now, you can underline or circle or make a mental note of all of these attributes that we're going to read in verse 1 and 2. That these wise men, these Gentiles, had this kind of understanding of Jesus and traveled perhaps 700 to 900 miles to see this newborn king. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born, notice the word after. Can't see somebody till after they've been born. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born king? You should have a capital K right there. They understood this was a Messiah king. King of the Jews. They understood some things about the Jewish faith and the Old Testament scriptures. For we have seen his star. Now, these wise men, at this point, you can see they're assuming that the dignitaries in Jerusalem that they're talking to are picking up on this and it's making sense. But the truth is, they weren't all looking for the birth of Jesus like these wise men were. These wise men from way off in Babylon, Persia, modern-day Iran, looking for the king of the Jews, had seen in the east, in their area of Persia, his star, and have come to worship him. So they already, in the first two verses, say he is a king. He is the king of the Jews, so they know the Jewish religion, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then they also have declared that this star in the skies, this miraculous phenomena that they saw in the sky, was his star. And we got to wonder, how did they know that? Where did they get that understanding? We're going to look at that in just a minute. And then they say, we have come because we want to worship him. I'm going to tell you, that teaches us a great truth. We have Jesus, and we have his word, and we have Jesus in our hearts if you believe in Jesus, and we have his Bibles. Most of us have maybe 3 or 4 Bibles. And we don't have to walk 700 to 900 miles, depending on the route they took and what part of Persia they left from. We can just go right to him, and we can seek him. And wise men still seek him. You want to be wise? Seek the Lord. Younger generation that's in the church, you want to be wise? You want to make good choices in your life? Seek the Lord. Remember these wise men. I want to tell you, these people, the Bible says, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Now, we know that King Herod was a wicked king, and at this time, his health is horrible. He's up in his years, and it's not going to be long that he's going to pass away. And Herod was troubled by the fact that there's a king of the Jews that's going to show up, and he felt threatened. And you know the rest of the story. He has all these babies, 2 years old and younger, killed. Herod was full of hatred, full of envy. He was power hungry. But then here comes these wise men. Another thing you might want to think about, I can say this, there was enough wise men that showed up that it got the attention of King Herod. There was enough wise men that showed up that it got the attention of all Jerusalem. All of a sudden, here's these Gentiles, they're not even Jews, here's these Gentiles and they are wealthy, these are magi, these are kingmakers, And these wealthy men show up in their entourage. They've got limousine camels. And I mean, they show up on their limousines. And they ride up. And they've got the finest of linens, the finest of clothes. They've got a purse full of money. And they show up. And they are in showing up as kingmakers. And it threatens all the others. And they wonder, why haven't we been looking? Why haven't we been watching for Christ the King? And they've had all the scriptures. The scribes, the chief priests, and the Pharisees, all of them had the scriptures. But the scriptures had become just simply a rut, a ceremony, and a religion for them. And Jesus came because he is the answer for the world. He came to establish a relationship with each and every one of us. That's why he came. And so they were devoted to the scriptures. Go back to Daniel and get to Daniel, and I want to show you something about what's happened. We ask ourselves, how did these wise men, how did these magi, these studiers of the stars, these astrologists, how in the world could they possibly have known about Jesus Christ 700 to 900 miles away, and how could they have known that that star was because of a Messiah that was going to be born? Well, they knew because they were devoted to the scriptures. Then you ask yourself, well, how did they get the scriptures? How did they even learn about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, they learned it from Daniel. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had come into Jerusalem. Now we're going way back in time, 5 to 6 centuries before Christ. God was going to punish them with 70 years of captivity because they had rebelled God. And so they come in and they ransack the temple. They tear it down and they ransack Jerusalem and they carry off captive all these Jews. One individual that was real young, some say around 16 years old, Daniel, that could still remember a little bit about the city and the temple and the old Jerusalem. And Daniel gets over there, and Daniel had purposed in his heart that I am going to serve my God even in another land. If you ever get time, that wonderful, wonderful chapter, Jeremiah chapter 29. You're familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. Write down that chapter and study that letter. Because that was a letter that Jeremiah was sending to the elders and the Jews that are in captivity in Jerusalem. And one of the things that was written in that letter is pray for the peace over there. Because when you pray for their peace and you're in their land, then it'll be peaceful with you. And he says, while you're over there, God says, multiply, have descendants. And then he tells them in verse 10 and 11 and 12 that he's got some plans for them. And that he's going to deliver them out of there. And I wonder if these wise men might not have got a glimpse of that letter way back there. Not the wise men that made the journey, because we're 5 and 6 centuries back right now. I'm talking about the other wise men. And these wise men begin to look at Daniel, for Daniel is different. Now you might remember something. Look at verse 17 in Daniel chapter 1. I want to read this first. He says, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill. Notice where it came from. It came from God. Whatever you have comes from God. In all literature, he gave them wisdom in literature. And wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God made Daniel different. Why? Because God wanted to show himself off for who he is. And he needed, listen, when you're reading the book of Daniel, you're getting lots of visions and dreams that have been interpreted. Get into chapter 2, and Nebuchadnezzar had had this dream of this great big image with a head of gold and a feet mixed with clay and iron. And it had all these different kingdoms that the statue represented. And so Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he calls all the wise men. Follow me on this because it'll connect us to Christmas here in just a few minutes. And he calls all the wise men, the astrologers, and all those people of the dream interpreters, and all of them come together. And Nebuchadnezzar says, now, somebody's got to tell me the interpretation of my dream. And I mean, before he can hardly get the words out of his mouth, some real prideful wise men thinking that if they can tell him something, they're going to get something from the king. And they open up, we'll tell you, old king, we'll tell you. And then the king, while he's still talking, he says, I don't trust you, basically. He says, so tell me my dream first. How would you like to be put in that situation? And if you can't tell me my dream, you're going to be cut into pieces. Man, that's just not a good place to be. Well, they can't tell him. Nebuchadnezzar puts out a decree to have all the wise men and the magicians, all of them, killed. Daniel finds out about it, and Daniel goes to the commander that was overseeing to it that these wise men were executed. And he tells his friends, Daniel finds out what's going on, then he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, y'all go pray to the God of heaven, and I'm going to seek the Lord too, and we're going to see what God wants to do. But we're going to continue to serve our God. And Daniel prays, and the Lord opens Daniel's eyes to understand not only the dream, but the interpretation. So Daniel says to that, goes and finds that commander and says, go get Nebuchadnezzar and tell him I can interpret his dream. Nebuchadnezzar calls him in. Daniel tells him the dream he had and what it means. And he tells him the interpretation. And when it's over, guess what happens to Daniel? Daniel is elevated. Look at chapter 2, verse 48 of Daniel. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. You see what just happened? God just exalted Daniel to a position of being the chief administrator now over all the wise men of Babylon. So if he's the chief administrator, if he's the boss over all of these wise men, you don't think that Daniel, the man who was willing to eat vegetables and he still gained weight, boy, that'd be awesome if you could do that, wouldn't it? He was tested for 10 days. He says, I'm not going to eat the king's delicacies. I'm going to eat just some vegetables. Go get me some broccoli and some Brussels sprouts. That just sounds so appetizing. And he still gained weight. And then he's interpreting dreams. And he is staying faithful to his God. And now suddenly he's over all these Gentile wise men that thought that they were smarter than smart. And Daniel begins to teach these wise men about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Daniel begins to teach them and say, let me show you what real wisdom is. Let me show you why I can interpret the dreams and you can't. Because I am connected to a God who is creator, who knows the hearts of men. You're connected to a polytheistic God. You worship all kinds of gods. I'm monotheistic. I worship one God. And if you'll listen to what I have to say, you will truly be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so Daniel teaches them about the things of God. Now, time goes by, and eventually they all pass away. But guess what has continued? What has continued is the prophecies of Balaam. All these prophecies, Zechariah, all these prophecies that are going to continue through the generations, the branch that would come, Zechariah 6, all these prophecies. The only one that they weren't familiar with, apparently, was Micah 5:2, because they had to ask. They went to Jerusalem thinking the Messiah is going to be in Jerusalem. And they get to Jerusalem and they say, well, where's he at? And then the chief priests tell Herod, hey, the Bible says, Micah 5:2, that he's to be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the place where David was from, King David, Jesus, the bread of life. And so here's Jesus in this little bitty community. I wouldn't think any bigger than Mount Sylvan here, just a small, small community. And there he is, the King of the Jews. So these wise men left. They were devoted to the Scriptures. But then there was something even cooler. They discerned the star. Look at verse 2 in Matthew. They discerned the star. And I believe this to be true, by the way, because I think that science has proven this from Christian perspective as well as from a secular perspective, because the skies, the planets, are like clocks. They're right on time. And one thing that they've discovered is there was a couple of planets that lined up just right with the Earth right in line, and it created this white star, so to speak, up in the air. But it was way up in the sky. It was not something that was real low over them that would signify his star. And I believe that this star, look at verse 2 in chapter 2 of Matthew. They said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star." You ought to write down on your notes, if you write in your Bible, Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. They knew this prophecy of Balaam. Remember, Balak had called Balaam to curse Israel, but every time he opened his mouth, instead of cursing Israel, he blessed Israel, because God would put words in his mouth to say. And this is what he says in this utterance. He says, "I see him," capital H, "but not now. I behold him," capital H, "but not near." A star, this is what you want to underline. This star is capital S. Capital S. We'll connect that together in a second. "A star shall come out of Jacob." That would be Israel. Remember, Jacob shall be called Israel. They knew that. They knew he was going to be a king. Remember, they said, "Where is he who has been born king?" They knew to watch for a star. They were into astrology. Now, I believe that this star was a supernatural manifestation of God's glory. In fact, I believe that it was the Shekinah glory of God that showed up. It was the Shekinah glory of God that filled the temple. It was the Shekinah glory of God that led Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness by a cloud by day and a fire by night. It was the Shekinah glory of God, a Christophany that showed up in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. This was the glory of God. It was His star. It was beneath what a planet could do up in the sky. And there's Jesus being born, veiled in the flesh, way back over there in Bethlehem. There's Jesus being born of a virgin, and He's born, and His glory is covered, but not in the sky in Persia. In the sky in Persia is the glory of God. And they see that star, and they say, "This is different. This is unlike anything we've ever seen in our lives. We've never studied a star like this." And I can just see them. Perhaps one or two wise men were looking up, and they were about to fall asleep in that star, and they suddenly do a double take, make sure they're awake. And they say, "Look at that." And they can't grab a cell phone, so they jump on a camel, and they rush to their friend's house and say, "Look at that." And they rush to another friend's house, "Look at that." And they convene a meeting the next day, and they said, "Did y'all see what we saw last night?" And they say, "Yes. What do you think it is?" And one of the wise men says, "Do y'all remember what we've been taught for generation after generation since Daniel? That there is a God, and that He is going to send His Son, and that there's going to be a Messiah born." They didn't know Jesus, the name Jesus, at that moment, because that hadn't happened yet. We need to run to Israel. Do you realize how dangerous that is and how long that journey is? Pack your bags and get your stuff. We're headed to Jerusalem because that's His star. The King has been born. And they get to Jerusalem, and remember what happens. They finally make it to Bethlehem, the star. Listen, we're told by a lot of traditions that the star guided them all the way to Jesus. No. Had the star guided them all the way to Jesus, they wouldn't have had to stop in Jerusalem and say, "Where is He at?" They'd have just kept following the star. But the star showed up in the east. And so when they get to Herod and to the others, they say, "We've seen His star. We had seen His star in the east." And Herod says, "When did that star show up? How long ago was that?" Well, if it was out there, Herod would have just looked up and says, "Oh, there it is." And y'all followed that all the way. They knew from the scriptures to head from Babylon or whatever part of Persia they lived in. They knew from the scriptures they had to go to Jerusalem because they knew that He was the God of the Jews, of Zion. And they knew the prophecies of Jerusalem. What little they had, they understood it. And so they get there, and guess what happens? They have to go about 5 or 6 miles to go from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem. And so they take off because they have the scripture still guiding them. Now it's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It's that little Bethlehem, and it's named of the Bethlehem in Judah. And so they take off, and they head to Bethlehem, and I can just see them as they come into town. And they come into town, and it's a small place. And wham, there's the Shekinah glory of God again up in the air. And the Bible says that it led them and guided them I can see them going through the neighborhood, and there's that star right there. And the Bible says it stood right over the house where Jesus was at. You say, why wasn't he in a manger? Well, they left. They had to leave Persia. I don't know if the star appeared just prior to the birth of Jesus or if it appeared right when Jesus was born, but it was somewhere in that vicinity. And they had to come to Jerusalem. And so they get there, and you say, when was that? Well, you know that after 8 days, Jesus had to be named. And then there was the time of purification. So 41 days after his birth, they had to go into the temple. That's where Simeon and Anna were at. So Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Herod's not killing any babies yet because wise men ain't showed up. So there they are living there in Bethlehem. Things are going good, raising baby Jesus. They've got Jesus named. Now they've took him to the temple. They've got the 40 days later for the days of purification. They've done all of that. We read about it in Luke 2. And so they go back home to Bethlehem. They show up. Bethlehem's right down the road. You go to Walmart in Jerusalem. All the big stuff's in Jerusalem. And so they go back home to Bethlehem. And then here comes the wise men. And the wise men eventually show up. And then after the wise men show up and Herod starts... is going to kill all the babies. The Bible says that literally right after the wise men walked out, Joseph had a dream, and God told Joseph, go to Egypt. And so they go to Egypt. Then after Herod passes away, and he's been killing a lot of the babies, after Herod passes away, then they have to come back. And the Bible says that they came back to where? Nazareth. And you know what the word Nazareth, the meaning of that? Jesus grew up as a Nazarene in Nazareth. He's the branch of Zechariah. Nazarene. Nazareth comes from the term the branch. That's him. It's really easy to understand when you see the sequence. And so there he is, and that brings us to our last thing. They discerned the star. It was his star. And then the last thing is this, and this is the most important. They determined to seek him. The fact that they left is remarkable to me. Because can you imagine how long it took to get there? And then they had to have that same how long to get back? Maybe even further because they went a different route to avoid Herod. Listen, the fact that they left Persia to come see Jesus and to come worship him speaks volumes of their understanding of Scripture and their love for Scripture. You know, you might say that this was the first Star Trek. And they leave, and they come to Jerusalem because they knew that they needed what this Jesus was providing. You may have come today to Mount Sylvan Baptist Church because you know that you need the Jesus that we're going to talk about. But you're struggling with what you're going to do with this Jesus. And you've made your journey. Maybe it was 5 miles, 10 miles, 50 miles. You've made your journey. The truth is, what are you going to do with the Jesus that you've heard about? That's the big question. You say in your heart, well, I want to receive Jesus into my life. Well, first of all, the reason we even need Jesus is because we're sinners and we're separated from God by sin. Sin is detestable in the sight of God. And it has separated us from Him. And Jesus didn't come to reform us. Jesus came to give us life. We are dead apart from Jesus. We're completely dead spiritually. And we need life. And Jesus came to bring life. And you can repent of your sins. That means turning from your way of thinking, your way of living, and saying, Jesus, I turn to your way of thinking and your way of living. And you can ask Jesus to come into your heart right now, this moment. You simply say, Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I believe that you are God, and I believe that you truly were born, the Word become flesh, dwelling among us. And I believe that those who receive Him, He gives the right to become children of God. And you believe that from your heart. The Bible says, from the heart we believe unto righteousness, and from the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says that we're saved by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man boast. Would you receive Jesus this moment? Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Give me eternal life. Help me to follow you the rest of my life, all the days of my life. He hears your heart and he'll save you. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you may be in here this morning and maybe you believe and you know that you're a Christian, but there's the Bible. There's that opportunity to pray, that opportunity to read his word, that opportunity to draw close to him. But for some reason, you're just not feeling it. You just don't, just not really having the experience. Would you ask God to give you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? He will make you hungry and he'll make you thirsty for righteousness. Then you'll seek his word for a personal relationship to grow and not just for something it'll do for you mentally. And then it'll change you mentally in the process. You can do that today. Whatever it is that the Lord is speaking, just be obedient.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.